ministry in the church can be life-giving and life-changing. And in the midst of it, we all need faithful companions along the road. Welcome to Along the Road, a podcast on faith and leadership for ministry leaders of the PCUSA.
So you're serving as a ruling elder or a deacon in the church, but you have almost a dozen other roles: activist, caregiver, technician, receptionist, coach, cheerleader, teacher, friend, fill in the blank. Come join us in the midst of your day, wherever you are, to be inspired in your role in the church, become nourished, and renew your call. Formation as a leader doesn't happen all at once, so let's walk along this road together. I'm Martha Miller, a ruling elder and a certified Christian educator, serving within the PCUSA Office of the General Assembly, and I'm excited to travel on this journey with you. For this episode, I'm joined by Marta Pomeroy. Marta is currently a student at Austin Presbyterian Theological Seminary, and I'm so glad that you're here, Marta.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Is there anything else that you'd like to share with us about yourself today?
Well, I am a ruling elder currently, even though I'm a seminary student in Austin, and I am originally from Cedar Rapids, Iowa, a member of First Presbyterian Church in Marion, Iowa, and I participate with the East Iowa Presbytery.
Well, we are glad that you are here. I know that you were also a guest on a recent Encounter episode, and that was a great conversation. There, the focus was on how you serve at meetings of the General Assembly, both as a commissioner and most recently as a theological student advisory delegate. And certainly those are important roles in the church. I'd love to talk more about ways that Presbyterians can be connected to the larger church in other ways. I'm very aware that many of our listeners are connected to their congregation, but may not have the experience with other councils of the church. You, on the other hand, have had several different experiences with the larger church. Can you tell us about some of those experiences?
Sure, I'd be happy to. One of the first ways I started getting involved in the church was as a ruling elder on session. And just like many ruling elders, I know I fill session, I'm a leader of the church, and usually you get to head a committee. So being that I was a teacher in education, I taught for 20 years. Being the head of the education committee was like a natural call for me as a ruling elder.
Sure.
Eventually, I got to spread the love around and became a committee leader for evangelism and membership. Mm-hmm. So I got to do different things in that role. But one of the things that being a ruling elder that not every ruling elder gets a chance to do, but I got to be our representative at presbytery meetings. Now, I know a lot of people with all the free time we have are like, ooh, another meeting. But I felt presbytery meetings for me were like being able to go on a church field trip without cheating on your own church. So you got to go see what the other spaces look like. You got to experience another form of worship and be around people who were excited about being there and doing the same thing. I found that being a ruling elder in those presbytery meetings felt like listening to what the church is doing and being aware of more of what the church was doing. And sometimes the information of what was going on at the presbytery would make it back to our congregations and sometimes not. So that became kind of one of those things where like, hey, if we're getting all this information, we should be kind of implementing it more. I remember a colleague of mine who eventually helped send me on path to seminary asking at one of the presbytery meetings, hey, would you be willing to serve on this mission social justice team? Hmm. And like, well, that is an area of passion of mine. And I don't even realize at the time or didn't realize at the time what I was getting into. But realizing that ruling elders can serve on different committees at the presbytery level was something until they were looking to feel like, ooh, this person might be interested in that. Really connected me to more people in the presbytery that I found out had similar passions as mine. So then I started serving on that at the presbytery level and listening to the things that we were doing in the presbytery or trying to find ways for people who have money and time, but don't exactly know what to do with it. Mm-hmm. And getting ideas from other churches of what they were doing in their own communities to further mission of serving people or doing anti-racism work. Things like that became a passion of mine.
Oh, that's great. I think one of the things in your story that I love, well, there's lots that I love, but one of the pieces that I think I'd like to lift up is the fact that somebody saw something in you and connected with some of the gifts that you have and invited you to participate. I know that some of us look for ways that we can use our gifts and our call. And sometimes it just takes somebody else seeing that spark in us. I think also the fact that you were willing to attend those meetings helped make some of that connection come together. I know that several of the ruling elders that I serve with have talked about, oh, I'd love to know what other congregations are doing. Well, that's a great way to do it, like you said, is to attend those presbytery meetings.
And another way I got involved as a ruling elder at the presbytery level was by serving on a peacemaking task force. Hmm. And the peacemaking task force also brought in the international peacemakers that the Peace USA brings around. And that was a whole different experience of being able to welcome people in. And then you are the one who's helping form like hospitality relationships with people as they come in, and then possibly help drive and transport and house. And it helps you realize once again that we are part of this bigger system of people are connected. And I like knowing that the churches and the presbyteries at that level are able to give hospitality in ways that show like we are the church together. It's not like, well, we'll just like rent you a hotel at this place. It's like, hey, we can open up our homes and have you stay here. It's good with our resources, but it's even better with how we can form relationships with people.
It's a great way of thinking about how you started at the congregation level, and by your involvement at the presbytery, you were able to even experience Christianity around the world and the impact that all of that makes, that not only through the denomination, but through Christ Church as a whole. It's interesting. We often speak about the Peace USA is a connectional church. You gave some great examples about how that's true. Are there other things that you might say about that phrase, connectional church, what that means to you or how your experiences have been lived out through that?
I have felt that through being a ruling elder and being willing to take those steps to like go to those upper meetings, or the presbytery level meeting, is that I have been connected to people that then we have continued these connections. An example right now is that we ended up hosting a Sunday school class online between like offering it for the whole presbytery, but because the two people hosting it, one was from one city and I'm from my city, and then we had people from both places talking, and it was allowing people to have similar conversations in different spaces. Now that I'm a seminary student here in Austin, Texas, I'm still actually in a week hosting another Sunday school class that's open to people in my presbytery, while also connecting these people that are a part of the congregation that I'm an intern at here in Texas, which then it enriches the conversations when you're able to connect with people who share the same values, but also have different experiences. So the way we interpret those values we might live them out differently. And it's really good to bring those people together to connect and have those conversations. So just by starting small, it kept getting bigger and bigger and has continued. And I felt grateful for the connections I've made at presbytery level. And then by being a ruling elder at General Assembly level, then I got even more connected to people through serving on committee there too.
Oh, great. That expansive love of God that just grows and grows. Those folks that you're serving with in Texas may not have ever met those folks in Iowa, and you're able to kind of make those connections, and they're able to see the similarities, the differences, the ways that God is moving through their contexts. Mm-hmm. And you did mention that you have also served not only at presbytery level, but also at General Assembly level. As we referenced, you do have another podcast episode that speaks specifically, I think, more highlighting your advisory delegate experience, but you've been a ruling elder commissioner as well. Is there anything that you want to share about what that experience sort of opened up for you?
Being a ruling elder commissioner at the General Assembly level was a life-changing experience for me personally. I knew I was getting involved with those committees at my presbytery level, but by applying and being selected to be a ruling elder at the General Assembly showed me how big of a passion there is at the national level for a lot of the mission work that I had a heart for, especially social justice work. So, and getting to see people in leadership positions there changed my perspective of what all our church looks like and could look like. And seeing the way that people come together to discern, especially when it's from all over the United States and the different experiences people have and the different values they have based on their own communities, and seeing how that can build the conversation between, even if you don't get your way, quote unquote, in the way conversation or voting is going, at least you know your voice was heard. It really showed this is the way the system should be working when it's working as it should. That we can come together and make decisions. We might not agree on everything all the time, but at least we know that we put our best forth effort into listening to the sides before making a decision together in community. So a lot of going to General Assembly changed the way I viewed the whole church and what I have an appreciation for of our church, but a lot of it was the way that we value community decision-making and the opinions of others.
And I think you also made reference to the fact that you also serve on a General Assembly standing committee. And it sounds like you, each of these sort of steps in your path and experiences that you've had with the larger church, you've learned something along the way. Is there anything that you can share with us about your experience, or maybe tell us a little bit more about what it's like to be on a GA standing committee and what that really means?
Yeah. Well, I just started serving on the General Assembly Nominations Committee, and I would love to tell you more about what it means, but I'm still finding my way on that one a little bit. Mm-hmm. The committee that I was on prior to that was, I was the co-moderator of the Special Committee on Racism, Truth, and Reconciliation. And that was a good amount of committee work with a lot of heart and head and passion put into it. And it was a wonderful experience. But what I learned the most along the way is there are wonderful people all over who care a lot, and there's wonderful people putting things into action. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of times we pray about things, we have them weigh on our shoulders, and we feel them in our hearts and in the pit of our stomachs. But being able to be a part of groups and committees that you can see that are walking the walk that they talk is something that is really affirming to why I'm on this path. Mm-hmm. And make it a pleasant path to be on.
I love that. And I love how it ties into our title of the podcast, Along the Road, because I could, just as you were talking about all these experiences, sort of see your journey and your path along the road. So I really appreciate that reference. And I guess I should clarify that you were on a special committee and am now on a standing committee. So you've had a lot of variety of experiences, and it will probably be helpful for me to say for our listeners that some of how that comes about is that presbyteries select the commissioners, the ruling elder commissioners and teaching elder commissioners who serve to the General Assembly. They also obviously find those who are called to the committees of the presbytery. And so look to your presbytery if this is something that is inspiring you and that you're feeling called to. As far as the committees, either special committees, standing committees that are elected by the General Assembly, Marta happens to be on the General Assembly Nominating Committee, who actually is the nominating committee for the General Assembly for all those bodies within that. So similar to your local congregation, they look for nominees to serve in various roles based on skills and gifts and call. And there is an application process for those bodies that is found online. And I think what we can do is in the description of this podcast episode, we'll put up the web address so that if folks are feeling like they may be called to serving on one of these groups, I think the nominations come open pretty soon, that they can find more information there. So we're going to combine all of your roles, Marta, into this one episode. So Marta, one of the frequent questions that I ask guests, partly because I love the variety of responses and partly because I found some really rich answers, is to ask your advice. What advice would you like to give ruling elders and deacons as they serve Christ's church in their particular role?
My advice would be, you have more power than you might recognize, that decision-making, even to the detail, like creates policy, creates change, creates mission and service. I think it's easy to get kind of caught up in the, I'm doing what we've always been doing, like I'm riding on this ride that's always been kind of circling, but to realize that it all spins somewhere and goes to somewhere important. And my advice would be to watch where that's going and get involved in what you're passionate about.
Wonderful advice. And Marta, what a true joy to be able to speak with you today. And I learned even more about some of your experiences throughout the church and feel like there are so many of our listeners who can really benefit from this and might be hearing something in their own call, in their own lives through your story. So thank you for all that you do, all that you have done, all that you will do, and especially today for joining us on the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been my pleasure.
We hope that you have been nourished through this episode of Along the Road. You're invited to visit the website for PCUSA Leader Formation for additional nourishment for ruling elders and deacons, pcusa.org/leader-formation.
This has been the Along the Road podcast. We look forward to crossing paths with you again soon.